Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Say good evening and praise the Lord to everybody. And I'm sure that the saints will be getting on the line here shortly. And I do thank the Lord for allowing me to see another day and to be able to get on and come back home, go to Alabama, come back safely. Thank the Lord for traveling mercies that he just continues to renew and extend to me and Sister Karen. So I don't take that for granted at all. Over the years, we've traveled a lot. We've never had any breakdowns. We've never had any mishaps on the road. We've passed a lot of tragedies and accidents, and we've had some near misses, but the Lord never allowed it to happen to us. So I thank the Lord for that. I don't take it for granted, because I've seen things on the road where people left, and by the mangled up condition of a vehicle, I know they did not make it home, or all of them did not make it to where they were going. So I thank the Lord for all the prayers that have been prayed, and got a message. I guess this came from Pastor Perkins through Elder Holden, the Brother Michael, went through surgery and came out well. So we thank the Lord for another answered prayer for Brother Michael. So we'll go ahead and begin with prayer. I got a special prayer request, and this is just one that just gripped my heart. There's a sister, brother and sister named Kennedy, and it's at another brother's church that's on our prayer line. And this couple, they went to Hong Kong, China to attend a wedding of their son. Evidently, I guess he was marrying an Asian girl. So they left and went to Hong Kong, China. When they got to the airport, her husband, he fell out dead. He fell out and just dead in the airport on the floor, just passed out, and he never recovered. And just a sad, sad thing that they went there for a joyous occasion and ended up in a tragedy. So, and then she had him cremated there, and at some point she'll be coming back. So it's the Kennedy family. So I want to pray for them. I'll include that in my prayer this evening. So let us pray. Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and the help that you give us every day. Thank you for being such a good God that is concerned about, Lord, everything that we do, everything that we're involved in. We acknowledge you, and as your word says, in all thy ways, acknowledge me. And Lord God, and I will direct thy path. And Lord, we thank you because we need the guidance. You know all the details and every day things that are going to happen, Lord God, this week that we haven't even faced. And Lord, guide us through it. Guide us through all the details and show us and exactly the moves and the decisions that we need to make. Lord God, we thank you for our health today. We don't take that for granted at all. So many people being sick, and so many people, Lord God, being diagnosed with a lot of different stuff that can put worry into a person's spirit. And Lord God, we want to pray for that and for them, those that are sick among us. Lord, we're believing that by your stripes, Lord God, we are healed, and that they're healed of whatever the illness may be. Please remember, Lord God, the Kennedy family, who, Lord God, we're going to celebrate, Lord, a great occasion, but it ended up in such a terrible tragedy. But you know, Lord, and we're turning, Lord, Sister Kennedy over into your hands. Lord God, only you have the ministry, Lord God, that can heal the brokenhearted, those that have been broken by loss of loved ones. And Lord God, no matter what's said, Lord, it may be hard to even reach with encouraging words, but Lord God, you can do it. And Lord God, we're claiming victory for her. At some point, Lord, there's going to be victory for her. And she's going to be able to raise her head back up, and she's going to be able to laugh and, Lord, enjoy her family. Let that happen even before she gets back. Lord, we thank you. We love you. Thank you for Brother Michael coming through the surgery that he has been, that he had been waiting for. And Lord, we're looking for renewed health and renewed strength for him, and for him to come back with a testimony that I was sick, but the Lord raised me up and healed my body and got me going again. Lord, we thank you so much because we know it's you. It's only you that can do it, Lord. And you've done it for us so many times, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Lord, you have risen us back up again to get going. And Lord God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for tonight as well. Lord God, thank you for the honor of being able to come before your people. Lord God, let your thoughts be my thoughts. Let your words be my words. Lord God, as I speak, Lord, you please minister, Lord God, to all that are on the line. Lord, we thank you. We love you. Lord God, bless Pastor Perkins. Thank the Lord for him allowing me to be able to teach and just continue to give him the things that he and his family needs, Lord God, throughout this week and throughout the coming month. Lord, we thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're coming to the end of this last week of consecration, and I want to say that to get all that you can get out of it, get all that you can get out of the consecration period, and because it's all about spiritual things, it's about trying to get things from the Lord that'll take us kind of to that next area that we're looking for Him to take us to. Or it's to get back from the Lord things that we had. It's also about getting spiritually renewed and spiritually restored. And it's about getting back things that may have been taken out of us or taken out of me by things that I've gone through over the past year. Getting those things restored back, put back in. That have been taken out. So the consecration period coming to the last week, like I said, get everything that you can get out of it. And I do have some scriptures and I do have a thought to go along with it. And the thought is, why consecrate and why fast? Why consecrate and why fast? And I do have some scriptures, and these are just some, but as I go, I'll call out the other scriptures that will be coming from. But Acts 4, 29 through 31, Leviticus 19, 1 and 2, and also Leviticus 19 and 7, Peter, 1 Peter 1, 2, 6 and 7, and then Isaiah 58. So it's all about trying to get back. You know, we're trying to get back. We're trying to get the Lord to put things back in us and to build things and to allow us to move forward spiritually. And I'm gonna throw some things out here that I've dealt with in the 38 years that I've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I've gone through consecrations every year, somewhere at some church. And here's some things that I just want to throw out there and things that I've had to deal with. May not be this time, but believe me, I'm dealing with something this time too. But I want to just throw these things out here that we need, and it's a reason for consecration. First thing is, Lord, I need a consistency in my spiritual routine again. I need that consistency again, going before you, and the things that I used to do that drew me so close, and I could feel you. Also, Lord, my prayer life and love for prayer and communication with the Lord is less. It's lessened. And maybe I used to get up early and pray. Sometimes maybe now I'm just barely praying before I go to bed, you know, at night. And sometimes I may miss that, you know. So, Lord, I need this consecration to build that communication back up again. My love for the Lord, my love for the Word of God, reading and studying the Word, getting an understanding of God's Word, it's lessened. It's lessened. That desire, that love for the Word is lessened. And Lord, I need you to restore that. Lord, I've gotten totally distracted, and I've left, you know, I've let other things in life take priority over my relationship with the Lord or the things of God. And I can for sure remember specific times that's happened. And I took on a whole lot of other stuff outside my job, and it seemed like it was taking more time than my normal job, and it never failed that the 2 or 3 years that I was involved in it, most of the work took place right during consecration. It took place right during consecration, and that distracted me from drawing near like I wanted to and getting that and that restoration and getting those things put back in me. And I had to think that, hey, this is a spiritual thing, because every year, it was about 3 years, every year, you know, and I'm gonna tell you, I had gotten my real estate license. That's what it was. And I got into real estate and I was working, and I never wanted to work with more than one person at a time, you know, because that's all I need to be dealing with is that one contract. And I'd end up like with three. And things that weren't going. The other realtor may not know what it was doing, but anyway, it took a lot of time, and it would happen every consecration. I'd end up with two or three contracts, and it took a whole lot of time, and it distracted me. I guess really couldn't get into it like that I needed to. So sometimes things distract and take the priority over our relationship with the Lord or the things of God. Another thing, and this has been me before. Lord, I'm doing the minimum of what I'm supposed to be doing for you. That takes some honesty to finally open up and say that. And a lot of times the Lord has to show us that. And then we realize, and then I basically had to acknowledge, Lord, I am just doing the minimum for you and for your people. So these are some things, you know, that part of consecration is examining ourselves. See, it's a time to be open and honest with the Lord, and to examine ourselves and let the Lord examine us and show us our defects and our shortcomings and our sins, so that we can repent and we can start working on those things with the help of the Lord. We don't want to just, like James said, look in the glass and mirror the Word of God, and then turn away as though we never saw what the Lord was showing us. And so we need the Lord to help us to examine ourselves as we go through this. I need the Lord to examine me, and He does. And sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes the Lord, when I go through the consecration, I know there's going to be some hidden things that I couldn't see. And I'm trying to identify the things that I need the Lord, that I know of, that I need the Lord to deal with me and to help me with. But the Lord sees the things that I don't see. Even in a dream last night, I had a dream, and the dream was showing me some things that the Lord's seeing that I need to deal with. Some things I need to deal with. And that is what the scripture talks about. He's going to come back for a church. I think it's in Ephesians. He's going to come back for a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, or any such thing. Well, that blemish are undealt things that we haven't dealt with. Stuff in our character, that the blemish. So there was a blemish there that was very clear what he showed to me in this dream. So examining. That's what he does. It's an examination, time of self-examination as well during this consecration. And don't just go through it trying to get to the finish line. Just trying to get to a point where, hey, I can eat what I want to eat, you know, and watch what I want to watch, you know, because some of those things we may not need to go back to. Maybe the Lord is trying to purge, and some things we may not need to go back to eating, back to watching. Something else that's in line I'd like to mention with the consecration period, and that is getting filled with the Holy Ghost, or getting a refilling or renewing of the Holy Ghost. And this is the week to get filled or to get refilled. This is the right time for it. And if you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't have it, or you want to get a refilling, let Pastor Perkins or me know. You know, all you have to do is say, Elder Brasher, I would like to get the Holy Ghost, or I'd like to get a refilling and a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we'll meet you at church, and we'll work with you, and you will receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. You will receive it. If you feel like I need a refilling, a refreshing, we will meet you down there. And it was very appropriate. The Lord did that for the apostles. And I'm going to read Acts, first scripture I want to go to here with about concerning this refilling of the Holy Ghost and the necessity of it, and to be filled, continually filled, is important. And Acts 4, 29 through 31. And this is a result of Peter and John being beaten and threatened not to do anything in the name of Jesus anymore. They were threatened by the Sanhedrin and officials of the church. And they were testifying about what took place. And as they were testifying, the scriptures recorded here, in verse number starting with 4 and 29, he says, Peter, this is Peter's prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto us, and grant to your servants, that with all boldness we may speak the word. That's part of what we need that renewing and that refilling with for, is we want that boldness again. We want that Holy Ghost boldness again, where we didn't mind witnessing and we didn't mind speaking up for the Lord. And so he said that, you know, grant your servants the boldness to speak the word. And then he goes on to said, and by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. So they're praying for more boldness. They're praying for more anointing, more boldness, more anointing. That's what I want. That's part of what I want. I want more of that Holy Ghost boldness. I want more anointing to be able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I want that anointing to, when I speak, it reaches people's hearts. And the Lord is like the Lord speaking to their heart and to their mind. So he's praying for more boldness and more anointing. And that is so appropriate for us that are already saved and may have the Holy Ghost. We needed to go to another level. So verse number 31, he says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all what? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they spake the word of God with boldness. That sounds like the day of Pentecost. It sounds like a Pentecost renewing, a Pentecost refreshing. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance on the day of Pentecost. And they were all filled and just began to speak the word of God with boldness. And that's part of my prayer. And that's what we should be looking for, to get that boldness and get that anointing back through the consecration, through this period. We got a week left. You can get all that you can get. Examine ourselves and see what am I falling short of? What's been left behind that I used to have, huh? That made you unique in the spirit. What's fallen off or may have even died out, seeming like it's died out. We're not doing it anymore. What do we need to do to get that back? Whatever you need to do, get it back. Strengthen those things. There was one church, maybe Sardis, it said that you are, there's some things that are about to die. He said, but strengthen those things that remain. Now, strengthen those things. And so there's anointing in us. We just need to rekindle it. Stir up the gift. Stir up that gift. And this is the time to do it. And get all you can. Like I said, get all that you can this week out of it by doing the whole thing. And I want to say that do the whole thing. You're blessed by doing the whole thing the way that has been laid out by the pastor. Every church, a pastor lays out a consecration. And I'm always amazed at the people that don't do it. You know, close friends that I had that I thought were so spiritual. And then come to find out, people talk long enough, they're going to reveal, they're going to tell what they're doing or what they're not doing. And I was surprised at a church, last church I was at, I was there for almost about 21, 22 years, and some close friends, and about 15 years into it, they said, this one individual said, this is my first year doing it. My first year, man, after 15, I've been knowing you for 15, I know we've been doing this for 15 years. And I was almost in shock, but get all you can get, because there is a renewing, a refreshing. There's more anointing that will come, and I have experienced it every consecration, but it's what I put into it. I tried to do it all and more. There's times I would do more than what was being asked. See, Pastor Perkins is trying to make this so that it's manageable. Everybody can do it. You know, we're not, like when I first got saved, we're not fasting for 3 days in a row, 24 hours, you know. You eat at 6 o'clock and then you fast 24 hours. You couldn't drink. They didn't want you to put a breath mint in your mouth. They said that would go ruin your fast, that little sugar from a peppermint. So we would go for 24 hours. We eat, drink a meal. Then we go 24 more hours. And then we eat, drink, and then we go 24 more hours. So that was hard. But you can do this. You can do this in every day. Just as much blessings out of it. So also, when I'm given the privilege of teaching during consecration, there's some terms and definitions that I think are good to know as part of the consecration. And we may already know these things, but I'm just going to sort of rehearse these. So there's three terms. There's holy, sanctify, or sanctification, and consecrate. Consecrate. We're talking about why consecrate. So these terms are good to know. And this goes all the way back. You know, these terms go all the way back to when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and out of bondage and captivity of Pharaoh. And he required that they consecrate themselves in order to be acceptable to the Lord. He required that they consecrate. And not only did it require that, but it also revealed his character. When he was telling them what they needed to do to be holy and sanctified, consecrate, it was also revealed the characteristics of God, his characteristics. They didn't know anything about these things. They didn't know anything about the character of God. They knew nothing about him being holy and sanctified and pure and righteous and good. And the Lord wanted them to know that because he wanted them to be like him. And that's what the Lord is trying to do. He is trying to mold us into his image. And this is all part of it, is consecrating. So holy, we see this term in Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Get to it. Leviticus 19, 1 and 2. The Lord tells Moses, it says in Leviticus 19, 1 and 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So he wanted them to be like him. He wants us to be like him. So this term holy, what does it mean? We got some misconceptions and we've been taught things that are really skewed and not correct when it comes to being holy. It's simply this. Holy means to be separated from sin and separated from the conscious active practice of sin. Separated from sin and the conscious active practice of sin, and separated unto God to be used by him. We've separated ourselves from sin and we're no longer active and conscious, knowing that we're in sin and continuing in sin. That was an issue that Paul dealt with the Roman church. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid, don't even think like that. How can those of us who were dead to Christ live any longer therein in sin? We died out to sin. How can we live? So he's saying, don't think that grace is going to make up the difference. Well, like, that's almost a doctrine in some churches. Oh, we're not perfect, then we can't, everybody sins. Well, yeah, everybody sins. That's so true. But we want to correct it, and we don't want to continue to just be in it and lay in it. I'm talking about conscious of it and just continue to do it. So he's saying holy, and for us, it means to be separated from sin and the conscious active practice of sin, and be separated unto God to be used by him. He wants us to be holy like him so he can use us. The next term is sanctify or sanctification. And I found a simple definition for this. And I like to keep things as simple as possible for my simple mind. I like to keep it simple. Sanctify or sanctification is the Lord's continual process of making you holy. Isn't that okay? It's the Lord's continual process of making us holy. And it deals with refining us and cleansing us. And there's a purging process involved in this. He's continually getting rid of unwanted stuff in us. And it comes through the Spirit. His Spirit doing it and working on us. He's continually getting rid of unwanted stuff in us, unwanted qualities, behaviors, feelings. And like I said, it comes by his Spirit working on us. It's the Holy Spirit in us that continues to work on us. And Peter illustrates the sanctification process, I think, very well in 1 Peter 1 and 2, and then 6 and 7. 1 Peter 1, 2, and then 6 and 7. And at this point in time in Peter's ministry, there have been several emperors who have come to existence. They all have been wicked, perverted, and they have all been inhumane, and they went after Christians. And the Christians had to scatter all over the world to escape the persecution. There was persecutions of Christians all over the world. And Paul, in this chapter, or in this book, He's trying to encourage all of those saints that have been scattered all over, running, that are God's representatives, and they're standing for Christ, but their lives are at stake just for speaking his name and preaching and teaching in his name, like Peter experienced from the beginning, Peter and John experienced from the beginning. So he writes to them, and I'm going to start with verse number 2. He says, elect, or which means the chosen ones, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctified through the Spirit of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied. There's a lot he said just right in there. He's talking about how the Spirit sanctifies us and brings us into obedience. And when he's talking about sprinkling of the blood, he's talking about forgiveness and redemption. Is what he's talking about. It's his forgiveness. He's given us forgiveness and he's redeemed. He's bought us back out of the sinful condition that we were in. So, but anyway, he goes on and he makes it clear that we're sanctified through God's Spirit. He does it. It's a process. And he goes on in verse number 6, after he says a lot of good stuff. Good to go back and read this whole thing because it's very rich. And verse number 6, he says, wherein you greatly rejoice. He's talking about before that, he's talking about the salvation. He's talking about the salvation that's going to come, that's going to be revealed in these last days. And we're now in the last of the last days. He says, wherein concerning the salvation that's going to be revealed in the last days, wherein you greatly rejoice. He said, though now for a season. And then he says, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And this is the part where the refining, he's talking about the refining and the sanctification process. If need be, you're in heaviness. This heaviness are just tough things that we have to bear up under. And he says through manifold temptation, he's talking about many tests. There's many tests. And the refining comes through these manifold tests. That the refining and the purging come through these tests that he's talking about here. He says that, let me read this. He says, though for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation or tests, many different tests, that the trial of your faith, this is the purging and the refining, the trying of your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. That's the refining. The fire that's involved in those tests. That's how he's describing the test. Sometimes that we go through. We've been there, haven't we? My goodness, we've been through some fire. We've been through. That's part of the sanctification process. He's refining us. Dude, he says sometimes we're going through multiple tests at the same time. Now, when you first get saved, he may not put it on you like that. But those of us who have been in this thing for a while, we may have a major test, and then we got other tests that are going along with it. He said that the trial of your faith being more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise, the honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The ultimate final end of sanctification is glorification. The end of sanctification, that's the process and through this life, the end of all the process, the test and the trials, we glory in tribulation, the scripture says. We glory as he's pressing and he's refining us. So it goes on, the ultimate salvation, the ultimate sanctification, let me get this right, ultimate sanctification ends with the glorification and redemption of the believers, our bodies being changed into glorious bodies ever to be with the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The testing. But then there's the reward that Peter talks about before he gets into the testing here. And go back up there and read that. But the sanctification. So it's a process. We all got to go through it. Ain't no use of saying, Lord. And then here's the thing that when I think back, and we've all heard these testimonies over the years. I'm saved and I'm sanctified. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, that's not something that you did yourself. We're boasting in the fact I'm sanctified. The Lord does. We have to allow him to do it. We can take off and run and get it, but we allow the Lord to do this. Huh? And it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. Amen. So, but anyway, it was nothing to. I guess you can brag about it, the fact that you made it through it. No, you can brag, I'm sanctified, I made it through, but I don't think that's how they were presenting that in their praise and their testimony, like, hey, I'm shining, I'm boosting myself up because there's something about me, you know, I'm sanctified. So anyway, with that sanctification comes that testing. So let's go on. The third thing, consecrate. Consecration and consecrate itself. And Leviticus, and that same Leviticus 19. That same looking at the time. That same Leviticus 19 and 7. The Lord continues on in Leviticus 19 and 7. No, that's not it. 19 and 17 is right. Let me see. 19. I'm sorry. It's 20 and 7. Leviticus 20 and 7, and it starts off saying sanctify. And it translates consecrate. Sanctify here means consecrate. He says, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. And he emphasizes it again, for I am the Lord your God. I'm holy. So the consecration, the sanctification, the being holy, being free from sin so we can be used by the Lord. It's the thread that ties these terms and definitions together, being holy. So to consecrate, and I found some good definitions here. To consecrate means to dedicate something or someone to the Lord. And what we're doing in this consecration period, we're dedicating ourselves to the Lord. It also means to make something sacred. Removing it from common use, removing it from worldly use and purposes. And then it goes on, the other part of it says setting it apart for holy purposes. So that's what we want to do. That's what we want. And that's what the Lord intends for us. And Peter expresses that very well. And we've seen in 1 Peter 2 and 9. He expresses it like this. You're a chosen generation. The Lord has chosen you and he has called you. And through that calling means he's chosen. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. Isn't that something? The priesthood in the Old Testament was not a royal priesthood. It didn't come from royalty. It didn't come from a line of kings. But he says that we are a unique priesthood, and it is royal because we are sons and daughters of the King. And the king that we're sons and daughters of is also a priest. He's also the high priest. So we're part of this royal priesthood, and the king and the high priest right now is who? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So we're part of this royal, unique priesthood. We're a holy nation. Is that word holy in that, again? The whole kingdom of God is holy. The church is holy. The body of Christ is holy. And he says, and you're peculiar, special people to the Lord that should show forth the praises of him who called us out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, he's removed us from common use. He's called us out of the world that the world was using us. So, and then consecration also involves a personal commitment. It involves personal commitments to live in obedience to God. We're making this sacrifice, and we're at the same time we're making this sacrifice as we're committing. We're making personal commitments as part of this consecration to live in obedience to God, to his word, to his will, to his ways. So it's important that we do it all and go through this to get all the boldness, the anointings back, to get fresh anointing, which is going to come with us completing it and going through the Lord's Supper, the communion. There's power. This is a power week, y'all. This is a power-packed week. And like I said, we want to get everything that we can get out of it because I want that power. So I'm just gonna stop right here before I go into the second part, which is why consecrate, or why consecration, or why consecrate, why fast? Why consecrate? Why fast? So anybody that has any comments or has any questions, you can do it now. Unmute your phone and you can give us your questions or your comments.
Hey, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
How are you? You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate your encouragement.
I wanted to make a comment on that. Why fast? I remember I got into a big old argument when I was younger, and I was going to Elder Burns Church with Tim Burns, because they didn't believe in fasting. And, you know, they believed in prayer, but they didn't believe in fasting. He said, they don't make no sense to turn a plate away. And, you know, I just fussed and carried on. I said, if you get real sick or somebody get real sick that you love and care about, I bet you fast and pray. You do all you know to do. Yes. And so I just remember having that big, huge argument with him because, you know, when the word says that all these things, all these great things, these miracles and things that change, you know, the lifespan or change what's happening in your life only can be done through fasting and prayer. So, I mean, I guess you can do stuff through prayer, but fasting really sacrifices. So it does two things for me. You know, it actually gives me something to do, too, that I feel like I can do extra for somebody that I'm praying to get through something. Yeah. And it builds my faith. And, you know, it gives me that humility and like I'm sacrificing so that the Lord, if be so, see fit to change whatever the trajectory is of what's happening. Because you can fast and pray for a life. You can fast and pray for finances. You can fast and pray for relationships. You know, it's a lot of stuff you can fast and pray for. It's just not for one particular thing. You want to make a change. And so I'm a high believer. It's hard. I'm not that great at it. It's hard. Lord, it's hard. But I think that's the point, you know, so that's the point. So anyway, I just praise God for his goodness. And I just wanted to share what I thought about fasting.
All right. Well, you were arguing on the right side for the right thing. You absolutely were right. So that's interesting that anybody, you know, that's been in the church for a while would say that it's unnecessary, because it absolutely is. And we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to move this thing right along so we can get to that part. So anybody else with a question or comment? Anybody else with a question or comment? Wait a minute. You got your phone. You got your. We get to see you with your curlers and everything. You better turn your video off.
Oops. Okay.
All right. Praise the Lord.
That was my twin. Praise the Lord. I just want to say that, you know, you're doing a great job bringing out the highlights of the importance of praying and consecrating and defining consecration. You know, sometimes I know, like, in when you first get saved, a lot of the terminology, you know, you don't understand it, but I just want to say that, you know, you're doing a good job bringing out the, you know, the explicits of the words that you are, I mean, that we, that's important that we know. And I also want to comment on when you're going through consecration and you're denying yourself, and that's just our way of putting our bodies under subjection so that when sin arises, it won't be anything new. You know, we're used to denying ourselves. We should be used to denying ourselves, because the flesh is always wanting. So we have to learn how to deny our flesh so that we can keep our mind focused on God and what he has, what he's speaking, what he's trying to speak to us and direct us in things that we should and shouldn't do. And I think this is a wonderful time to be able to be a part of this. And because, you know, as we all know, we're living in the last days, and we want to be ready when God comes back. We don't want to just go through the motion and not have to sacrifice or deny and just all and deny ourselves, but always looking for God to bless. Some things God's looking for us to do on our end to show our gratitude and appreciation for what he's doing for us. But when you mentioned by grace we are saved, a lot of times people take that scripture and just think that they can just go on and sin, and God loves us so that he's just going to accept it and call us on home to glory. But God doesn't have to accept that sin, and we thank God for his grace and mercy, because, you know, we make mistakes regularly, and but God, you know, is faithful to forgive us if we ask him to forgive us and repent of that thing. And when we repent of it, that means godly sorrow, not just saying, oh God, forgive me, I told a lie. Or, you know, it's godly sorrow. God is judging our hearts. And if we're really sincere about being sorrowful for what we did, you know, then we're going to try and change that thing. We're going to do our part. And the part that in our heart, if we have God's spirit in us, he will let us know when we're falling short. And not only does he want us to confess it, he wants us to turn from those things.
Yeah.
And so that's the importance also when we're fasting, because we're putting this body under subjection to things that it wants to do. And we're putting more time in with the Lord so we can be more wiser about the things that he's trying to input into us and the things that we need to do. So I just want to say, great lesson. You know, I enjoy the way you're breaking down a lot of the scripture, and it's just a good word.
Man, thank you, Sister Karen, and I do appreciate Oops. You. And yeah, you thank the Lord for the comments and the encouragement. I'm going to have to condense some things I see. Why consecration? Well, for me personally, I have to. I have to consecrate because there's so much that I've picked up in my spirit over a year's period of time that I need to purge. There's things that get deposited, and we can attach ourselves to things. Things attach itself to us. And in order for me to maintain just a close, intimate relationship with no interference in my communication with the Lord, I need to consecrate and purge, and I ask the Lord to examine me and to show me the things that I need Him to help take out of work with me, to help take these things out of me, Lord. And I had also just some signs that we need consecration. One of the things that, hey, we're in sin, you know, we're sinning. And then we may become less sensitive to sin. So we may start watching and listening to sinful stuff. And our minds may dwell on sinful stuff. You know, we may be fighting in our mind. You know, we can argue and fight in our mind. You know, have the whole fight takes place. What they say, what I'm going to say, I've been there. What I'm going to say, if they say this, I'm going to say that. You know, I'm fighting in my mind. And, you know, my mind just dwelling on worldly stuff. Conversation becomes very loose and carnal. May not be anything spiritual. Not even in church, people not talking about anything spiritual. I need to consecrate, you know. Curse words that slip out every now and then. I know if that happens, I sure need to consecrate, you know, or just all out. Some folks that just let it go and just all out start cursing. If you see I get that, man, you know, Elder Brasher has lost it. He has lost it. Grab him and take him right on into the church, to the altar, all everybody that can. So when he says, you know, let not filthy communication come out of our mouths, attitude. I realize I got an attitude problem. I mean, quick tempered, short fuse, intolerant, arrogant at times. You know, the other thing is, if I miss church and it don't really affect me, you know, or just completely leave and get completely out of that routine and it doesn't bother me at all. See, it's easy for this flesh to relax and, you know, just not go. But I need to consecrate and I need to come into the house, into the sanctuary of God, you know. And like Asaph said, then I understood where I actually was. You know, I almost slipped. You know, I was thinking wrong and all skewed and all distorted. And then I didn't understand what was going on with what I was doing and how I was thinking until I came into the sanctuary. He said, then I understood it. It's an importance. It's coming. Is that Elder Jackson there? Were you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just waiting for you. I didn't know if you were like still taking questions or statements.
Yeah. Can I get through this and then do it at the end?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, let me, because I need to get to this. Since it was brought up, I need to get to this fast. Why fast? You know, that was signs that I need to consecrate, just different stuff. I got an attitude, you know. Sometimes I gotta ask the Lord, Lord, please deliver me from this bad attitude. Woke up with a bad attitude. So why fast? Well, we need to overcome the flesh. The flesh is degenerate. We inherit it from Adam. It's prone to sin. It desires everything that's opposite of what the Holy Ghost or what the Holy Spirit desires. And there's a continual battle. And the Bible uses some terms like we need to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We that are in Christ have crucified. Fasting means that we abstain from all or some food and drink. Now, this is what I say. In 2025, the devil has upped his game. The devil has upped his game in 2025. And I said, we want to abstain from more things than just the food and drink list. We need to abstain from anything that fuels and empowers the flesh. Visual media fuels the flesh, unwholesome TV, unwholesome stuff on the internet, and toxic social media, that can wait. We can waste hours on it. What it does, it wears on our sensitivity to God and our sensitivity to people that need us. Why fast? Let's go to Isaiah 58 and see what God sees and why we need to fast. This is the fasting scripture. Isaiah 58 is the fast, the fasting scripture on fasting, Isaiah 58. And the scripture shows that the Lord sees everything. You know, he's a discerner of our thoughts, the intents of our heart. He sees it all. He knows what's really going on in us. And if we're for real, if we're genuine, are we faking? Are we faking this? So he tells Isaiah, he says, cry aloud and spare not. Don't sugarcoat anything. He said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. So he's trying to prick their conscience. And he's telling Isaiah, you let them know what they're doing and let them know that I see what they're doing. And the Lord goes on through Isaiah. He says, you seek me daily and you delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. He said, you acting like there's nothing wrong. It's your people, your righteous people, and you're seeking me every day. Looks like from the outside. And you haven't forsaken my ordinances. He said, and they asked of me. They even asked, you know, of the ordinances. And they're asking for justice. And they take delight in approaching to God. This is a front. This is all a front that the Lord sees. This is religious habits and rituals that people go through for so long. Even the fasting can become that. Even the consecration can become that. And he says, wherefore are they? This is what the people are saying. He's saying, this is what the people are saying. Wherefore have we fasted? Why are we fasting, they say? And you see it not. You haven't even seen it, Lord. You act like you know. Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? You're not even looking or paying attention, it seems like, Lord. Behold, in the days of your fast, he says, you find pleasure, and you exact all your labor. You're exploiting. You take advantage of people. You're supposed to be fasting, and you're taking advantage. Folks. And then he goes on and said, behold, you fast for strife and debate. Is it there's vicious arguments and quarreling and debating. And he said, you even smite with your fist. Y'all even fighting, fist fighting. Well, you even fighting with your fist. Supposed to be consecrating. You're supposed to be saying you're fasting, you're consecrating, you're arguing. After you leave the sanctuary, then what do I see? I'm seeing all of this stuff. He says, and you shall not fast. Let's go, let me read. Let me see. It's so small. He said, to smite with you, fighting with the fist, the wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. This is not the fast. This is not sincere. This is not the fast that you're supposed to be fasting. It's not the way that you're supposed to be fasting. He says, is it a fast that I have chosen? I haven't called a fast and you end up like this. Is it a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread a sackcloth and ashes? And all they really looking like they fasting and going through consecration. Wilt thou call this a fast? And an acceptable day to the Lord. Is this the kind of fast? Look at your attitude. Look at your behavior. I'm seeing it. You don't think I'm seeing it. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? He said, this is the fast I've chosen to loosen the bounds of wickedness. Turn from your wicked ways. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Then he says to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and to and that you break every yoke, the yoke that you have on people. Is not this to deal bread to the hungry? That's what my fast will do. You're going to have some compassion. When you come through my fasting and my consecration, you're going to deal bread to the hungry. You're going to give to them. And it says that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. You're going to help out the downcast, downtrodden. And when thou seest the naked, thou shalt cover him, that thou hide not yourself from your own flesh. Don't hide yourself from your own people. Don't turn away from helping your own people. You know, I had this, and this is what I was going to really say, talk about at the funeral. I was going to start here about the Lord says, do not turn away from your own flesh when they are in need, when they're sick, when they're needy. He said, don't turn. He said, and then he talks about the blessings that you receive when you do help your own people. Some people won't. First, what this whole thing is talking about is becoming sensitive to God and to people. Fasting makes you sensitive to people and the needs of people. He goes on and said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. He's going to give you some glory that other people are going to say. See, you're going to have a reputation, amen, and that your health, the things that have been taken out of you, maybe even from taking care and helping folks, the Lord's going to put them back into you for being so sensitive. He said, and thy righteousness shall go before you. You're going to have the glory of the Lord. You're going to have a name, a reputation. And he said, not only that, I'm going to protect you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear reward or your rear guard. He's got your back. Then shall thy call and the Lord shall answer. Now, when you fast like this, you're going to be sensitive to me. You're going to be sensitive to people. And I'm going to be sensitive to you because I'm going to be right there. When you call, I'm going to answer. Thou shalt cry and he shall say, here I am. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we want during this consecration. The fasting sister, First Lady Renita Perkins, you are absolutely 100% to argue that all the way out the church door, into the parking lot, because fasting is so important to make us more sensitive. It breaks down this flesh that's so selfish. It wants what it wants. Don't care about nobody but itself. And it said, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise out of obscurity, and thy darkness shall be like the noonday. He's going to raise you up from the condition, whatever condition you're in, and the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, even in the middle of a desert. You're going to spring up. Everything else may be drying up around you, people drying up, but you ain't going to dry up. You're going to be like a spring of water whose water is not going to fail. It goes on to these, all of these blessings that come from fasting and being sensitive to people. And Jesus said it, and Elder Jackson quoted it from Matthew 25. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was naked, you clothed, We ain't going to do that unless we're sensitive to people. And the fasting makes us more sensitive. So why consecrate and why fast? Because I need it, and I need to be more sensitive to God, and I need to be more sensitive to people. And Isaiah 58 is your support for fasting and what I need to get out of fasting. My heart needs to be more sensitive to people, to my family, to my wife, children, to other people, my brothers and sisters in the church, people that I just meet, don't even know. So that's it. Why consecrate? Why fast? So any comments, questions? Elder Jackson, you've been waiting for a while there.
I just put my picture on. That's all.
Your talking picture.
Hey,
I need one of those. Y'all got to show me how to do that.
My wife was talking. I thought of the word reset. Consecration is like a reset button. It takes you back to your first love. You know how when we first got the Holy Ghost, we were just ready. We were ready to be. We just ready to go to heaven. We had no idea that the trouble was going to come.
All the stuff in between.
And so that's what I thought about, just a reset button.
It is exactly
you
that.
To, you have to be very intentional. So when you, and then you start talking about fast, and I'm not going to be long. I just thought of my daughter. My daughter, she went on a 7-day fast without eating. And she got really sick on the 7th day. And all she drank was water. She didn't do the 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock. She just drank water for 7 days with no food because she was, because she has a, her, my youngest grandbaby that's real close to me, she couldn't talk. She gibberish. And she came out for that fast. That last day was real hard on her. And now the baby girl is talking. So I know fasting does work. It works. There's power in fasting. You know, when that boy would kept trying to kill himself, throw himself in the fire, then he tried to throw himself in the water. And his daddy went to Jesus. He said, look, my disciples, your disciples couldn't do nothing with my son. They couldn't heal him. And then Jesus said, This kind comes out only through prayer and fasting. So you're right about fasting. Yeah. Fasting is has power. And it denies, we think sex is the strongest appetite, but it's really your stomach. And so if you can conquer your stomach, you can conquer your sexual drive, you know. So I really appreciate your teaching.
Thank you for that encouragement, Elder Jackson. I do appreciate that. Paul, I believe, told Timothy, Titus about the Cretes, those Cretans, that their God is their belly. You know, and like you said, I was thinking about that this week. There's people that cannot control their appetite. Nah. And there's more people that are being killed and dying from eating the what they eat than the drugs or anything else.
Yeah.
People in the hospital, and a big part of it is because of their diet. Can't control it. People can't get out of bed. They're so big. And I know people that they had to wait on the knee surgeries and knee replacement because they were so big you couldn't get it done. But it's hard. And that's why I can't get upset with people that are drug addicts that you know relapse or whatever. But because, like I said, there's more people dying from food they know they're not supposed to eat that's killing them. Food is killing people. I'm diabetic. If I eat everything that I want to eat, that pecan pie, you know, that chocolate. Coconut, German chocolate cake. Man, I want all that stuff. I go buy all of that stuff every time I go to Publix and I look at it. But I know I can't. Or, man, I'll be in a coma.
Brother Brasher.
Yes, sir.
I was in Publix. I had a chocolate pie, had an apple pie, and I had a cheesecake. I had it all in my cart, man. And I just took it. I threw it out. I put it back. I went up and down the aisle and said, if I eat this, boy, I'm going to hate myself. It's real. It's crazy. How did food be calling?
Oh, man. You know, but a lot of people but can't control
it. Back. I took it out put it back. Heart,
man, that's because of consecration. See, yeah. Man, you got some self-control.
I don't know about that, but I thought...
You had the satisfaction of willing having it in your cart and looking at it.
It was buy one, get one free. So it was half price.
All right. You know, I can clown all night. But anyway, appreciate all the comments. Just appreciate you, Elder Jackson and Pastor Perkins. Appreciate you giving me this chance to teach. and Sister Bernita and Karen, everybody that's on here. I appreciate all of y'all. So
how can you let us see your wife with rolls on her hair?
Man, you did see. You just didn't.
I missed it.
He was right there. That was the Lord being her rear guard. The Lord shielded, because she was sure right there in the open on the camera, all in the open with those rollers, those skinny long rollers.
That's right. All right.
I need to get me one of those pictures, like Sister Beverly, Sister Barbara, Sister Renita. How do we do that? Anyway, let's go ahead and move on. Pastor Perkins, it's back to you, or if anybody has any comments or anything, I'm way over.
I thought I heard one of the sisters getting ready to talk. It might have been Minister Malone. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm tickled at y'all. I love y'all about these pies. But I wanted to comment on the power that comes with fasting and coupled with prayer. You have to pray while you're fasting. It does no good if you do one and not the other. To see the true power of God, and you put both of them together, he has to move. He has to move. So, you know, I can't say now because I had a baby, so I'm using Samantha as my excuse, but it's not an excuse. But I lived in a place of praying and fasting and consecration. And it was 1 year I went on a 21-day fast, liquid only, no food, absolutely no morsel of food, only liquid for 21 days. And I had several things before the Lord, but there was one thing that I desperately wanted God to do. And day 18, the thing that I was praying for God to do, when I tell you, it nearly destroyed my faith. The one thing I had that was constant before God in prayer that I was fasting over literally nearly broke me. And the last 3 days of that 21-day fast, I had absolutely nothing go past my lips. No food, no water, nothing, because I was so broken. I felt like my world had shattered. But let me tell you how good God is. Without going into details, the thing I had before God was my marriage. And I'm going to tell you how good God is. It's been at least, 5, 6 years, almost 6 years since that time that I'm still here with my husband. And we have Samantha. We're in a home. We're not renting. Like, this is our home. We have a mortgage. Lord have mercy. Put that on the altar. But the thing that I had before God, and I felt like I was fasting for 21 days, and towards the end, I felt like, you know, I'm like, why am I doing? What is the point? And all I could think was in the book of Daniel's, like, when there's fast, or they're doing 21-day fast, and it said that the answer to the prayer was already released. It was just the angels was warned in the spirit, trying for the for the answer to come fruition. And God is so faithful when you are faithful in the things of God. When you set your mind, you set your heart, you set your spirit, that no matter what, and sometimes we felt, now, if you ain't never broke a fast, if you ain't never ate something you weren't supposed to eat, or during the fasting, you ain't fasting. Like you can't be really fasting if you ain't never messed up in a fast. And there's been plenty mess ups in a fast before I got to that particular fast. But all to say that when your heart and your spirit is in line with the word of God and the heart of God, he has no choice but to move on your behalf, because his word cannot return unto him void. So when we activate while we're fasting, while we're consecrating, and we put our faith in it, we will see the blessings and the glory of God. So amen. And then I also knew that Bethany was doing that fast, and I rejoiced for baby Zoe, because she's going to be talking. She's going to be a public speaker. Do you hear me? In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for letting me share.
One thing about what you're saying, too, is that we're storing up. There's some things being stored up. It may not come. You may not see the result of your prayer until later on in the year. It may not be right at the end of the consecration. But one thing that you are going to receive, you're going to feel renewed power. You're going to feel renewed anointing, and there's going to be a reset. And especially if you're there and you do the communion, that is the topping on the cake. That is the power comes through that as well. All of this that we've been doing, and then that communion. I know that the next you feel it then, but I feel it that through that weekend. But your blessings and the things that you've prayed for, the Lord, it may be 6 months. It may be 3 months. It may be almost a whole nother year. But the Lord is going to bring it to pass. He's going to bring it to pass. So do appreciate the testimony. And another thing, there were times I couldn't fast. I was in the consecration, but I was too sick. See, that sickness does the same thing to your flesh as fasting. It's breaking down that flesh. You know, that flesh can't really flare. When you're sick and you're not feeling, your flesh is not flaring up. You know, I just had to pray more and read more. But sometimes you just can't fast. Sometimes you may have to modify the fast. But you're getting the thing is, your most formidable enemy is this flesh. That's your most formidable enemy, because you're dealing with it every day, 24 hours a day. Devil may come and go, but that flesh, you can't escape it until the Lord delivers us out of here. So God bless you. Boy, I'm sorry, Pastor Burton.
Praise Lord, praise Lord. I put comments in the chat to the effect that this is a powerful and needful lesson. I really got blessed in it. And in going over the scriptures and hearing the comments of everybody, it's kind of renewed my sense of determination. Our last comment, Minister Malone talked about, I'll rephrase it how I talk, that sowing faithfulness produces faithfulness in our walk through the power of God. He responds to our faithfulness. But it's a beautiful lesson, Elder. 2 days in a row, I barely said a word and probably got more blessed than when I was teaching and preaching. So thank you to Elder Jackson for a powerful job yesterday. Thank you for Elder Brasher, a powerful job tonight. And I'm not just throwing the word powerful out because I'm trying to be encouraging. It really was powerful. And I thank the Lord and very needful to give us the boost in the stretch run of this consecration period. And I appreciate the point you made after Minister Malone talked about the importance of the communion. Thank you. Turn it back to you, Elder.
And thank you for all the comments and all the encouragement. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for being so good to us and giving us this opportunity, Lord God, to look at your word, to look at what your expectations are and the blessings, Lord, that you have promised us through fasting and through the consecration, separating ourselves and dedicating ourselves and resetting things. Lord, just we need a reset. And Lord God, and we need your power, Lord God, to be manifested in a great way. Signs and wonders. That's not something unheard of. That's something that should be part of the church. And just through your name, just be believing and putting our faith in your name, in you.
Yes.
The name represents you in you, Lord. So, Lord, let the miracles, we're already seeing miracles. But Lord God, we want to see, Lord, some instantaneous things happen, Lord. And we're coming before you and we're laying and we're praying and we're fasting and calling on your name. We're putting people on the altar.
Yes.
And Lord God, we're seeing, as we go, we're seeing answered prayers. Brother Michael. Lord God, get in the surgery. Others, Lord, that are being blessed. And Lord God, the Malones back together as a family. Lord, all of that's taking place, Lord, during this consecration. As we've been praying, you've been blessing. We don't want to take anything for granted at all. Because your blessings are just continuing to flow. Yes. Lord, renewed strength. Sometimes, Lord, our strength runs out. Lord God, our minds are just fatigued, bodies fatigued. Lord, you allow us to lay down and you renew our strength to get going the next day. Lord, you visit us. Lord, every night you visit us and you wake us up to see another day. What a miracle and what a blessing. Lord, so Lord God, like the song says, we want to count every blessing. Count your many blessings and name them one by one. Count your many, many blessings to see what God has done. Because Lord, you're doing more than sometimes that we see that we realize until we start counting them up and looking closely. And Lord God, you're doing it. We thank you. We love you. Bless us, Lord, through the rest of the week. Lord, just let us come together on Wednesday and then Friday. Lord, we're looking for your power to be manifested through the communion supper. Lord God, we're looking for renewed power, renewed anointings, Lord God, and boldness. Lord, we thank you. We love you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Love you all.
Amen.
Amen. Good night, everyone.
Amen. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Living Bread. Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.